Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Miller. Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And that man, Pete Donaldson's here.
Yes.
And you're here. Let's get on with it. Oh, hello, everybody. Yeah, Football Ramble time. Come on. Now, Jim.
Hello.
There's a big smile on your face.
Yeah, there is.
Oh,
dear. You haven't done it again, have you, Jim?
Pull your trousers up, and we'll talk about Arsenal versus Chelsea in just a minute. But before we do that, big Wenger and his guns. They marked his 20th anniversary in charge
of Arsenal. Those guns were loaded, man.
They were.
They were firing at will. Yeah.
Clips everywhere.
They were shooting to thrill. And didn't they just... Arsenal, they celebrated his 20th anniversary in wonderful fashion. And I was very pleased for Wenger because, like we say, he's been handed a damp squib more than once for his anniversary.
By Chelsea. Yeah. Which is genuinely...
But it's partly his own fault. Like, he wasn't handed that.
Here's what he could affect it. Yeah, to be fair,
some sort of like anniversary present after 15 years of a dead marriage. Yeah. It's his own fault as well. But anyway, I'm not taking it away from him because he had a good time this time round.
Well, if you could introduce a new date or anniversary that would be celebrated or noted in the footballing calendar, what would you choose, Jim?
Well, the Premier League is a beast now, isn't it? It's this massive, huge, global, like, mega money thing. Mm. And it's a phenomenon, and it's brilliant, and
mega
blah,
money
blah, blah,
thing.
Blah.
That sounds like a Puff Daddy album from, like, the late 90s.
Mega money thing.
Mega money thing. Yeah. P. Diddy.
It's like the last hour in Pete's radio show.
But, yeah, it wasn't always like this, was it? Even in the relatively early days of the Premier League, there was still an innocence to it, and I would like to perhaps actually... make younger listeners aware of this for the first time, see an acknowledgement of the Lee Sharp barbecue. You guys remember this?
Yeah,
Yeah. Lee Sharp used to have a fan club, and if you're in the fan club, you would go round his house and his brother would be there and you'd have a little barbecue with Lee Sharp, which is, I mean, that's like doing that with... like Marcus Rashford now, isn't it? It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, we talked about this at a great length on the show before, but Lee Sharp was a superstar player, but it was him and Ryan Giggs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I guess you could probably draw parallels between their respective careers and how they got on and how they didn't. But imagine, can't really imagine. I saw an interview with Marcus Rashford over the weekend. He seems like such a lovely young man.
He really is.
Well, he's quite an exciting footballer because he's so raw, but I don't want to see any raw food at the barbecue.
No, all right? Not mid-season.
No. Seasoning, yes.
Definitely seasoning, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Luke, what about you?
I thought we should potentially always mark from now on today because it's a very important day, the 26th of September as we... December! Boxing Day! the 26th of September as we record this, because this is the day that officially FIFA have completely got rid of racism.
Well, hang on.
Oh, yeah, amazing.
I was about to say, it's the end of racism.
Yeah, longer exists.
Yeah.
And that's why FIFA...
Either that or they've embraced it.
Stick on Ebony and Ivory, let's go on.
The anti-racism task force mission, according to FIFA, has been completely fulfilled. The chair of the task force, the brilliantly named Constant Omar,
administer his own.
How many meetings? He's been just over a year, I think, in charge of the task force, the anti-racism task force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Didn't take him long.
Which I saw one news outlet, I forget which, they refer to it as the racist task force. Yeah. I think it's something completely different.
No.
But the anti-racism task force, run by Constant Omar, how many meetings do you think he chaired in the year and a half that he was head of the task force?
I'm going to be generous and say three.
Well, presumably he's in charge of it, so he has to chair everyone.
Well, how many meetings?
Well, how many meetings were there? That's the question.
Yeah, that is the question.
Yeah.
That's literally the question.
Yeah. Seven.
Would you say?
Three.
Would you say?
Two.
Zero.
What, there were no meetings?
I knew three would be generous. I didn't realise it would be very generous.
No meetings, according to several news outlets, and then when people start to smell a rat and write him letters to ask him why there have been no meetings so far, ignore them. No response.
No racism.
Wow.
No response.
Well, yeah, why...
I mean, and a kick it out have announced that last year alone there were 393 incidents of racist incidents in football in the UK only. Because we always get on the back of it, elsewhere in Europe and blah, blah. There's a lot of problems here in the UK as well. 2 years before that, there were only 77. So if anything, you could argue it's getting worse. worse. Mm. FIFA aren't bothered. They've sorted it all out. So let's all celebrate the end of racism on the 26th of September every year. And that's my answer.
I think FIFA, you could imagine Constant Omar just saying... Oh, people are just getting touchier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am constantly Omar.
Very good.
And I cannot find the meeting room.
Yeah.
I don't know. Book it, mate. Don't know. Book it out. It's on. I don't have access to that calendar. I can't get involved
maybe
in that.
Like
my secretary's confused.
Maybe it's like when Gareth Keenan in the office has to investigate something going wrong. He doesn't get his own office. He used the boardroom like once a week. Mm. That's all he gets.
I think he probably just turned around and went, there's a meeting room.
Yeah.
Peter, what have you got?
I'd probably mark the anniversary of David Dunn's Rabona.
Oh, yes. Like
very
that.
Good.
In the West Midlands derby, Birmingham Villa.
Yeah.
He'd been watching Robbie Baggio on the telly, hadn't he? Yeah.
Not very closely.
He'd been playing Baggio's magical kicks.
Baggio's magical kicks, where you couldn't even administer a Rabona.
No.
And, he was having his breakfast, and he was telling his missus, I'm going to do it today. And she's going, don't do it today.
Listen,
You're not good at it, David.
I realise I'm in a massive glass house saying this, but I will throw this one stone. David Dunn's breakfast went on for a while, didn't it?
Say again, do it.
Didn't it?
And listen, well, maybe you should have been practicing the Rabona.
Yeah.
Instead of eating them sausages.
He probably thought the Rabona was some sort of Italian sausage. That's why he signed up to it.
He gets a bone at the end of it like a dog.
The man was a professional footballer.
And he did laugh about himself.
He's a great sport.
Yeah. Fair dude. Wait, you'd have to be. Imagine if you really were belligerent about it.
He got up and went, David Dunn.
Yeah. And the groundsman came and went, I'm charging you for that divot. Those divots don't replace themselves.
Oi,
you know?
Oi, that's a divot.
Yeah.
I would have an anniversary for this, and it would be a great one to celebrate because everyone could easily get involved. Because it's quite funny when fans do, often at the end of the season, it's a fancy dress occasion, that kind of thing. So people could quite easily get involved with this. Do you remember the man with the toothbrush in his mouth behind the dugout?
Yeah. Stamford Bridge.
At Stamford Bridge.
Yeah.
It was glorious.
Just brushing his teeth.
Where was he spitting that?
Just doing it dry. Maybe he just had a bit of like fur at the back of his teeth. He's trying to get rid of that.
Well, so one day every year you're saying that people should bring toothbrushes to the game.
Yeah.
That'd be quite sinister.
Why?
I'd like it, but it'd be interesting to look at.
Why is it sinister?
Tens of thousands of people brushing their teeth together.
You just sort of hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be quite loud, though.
Well, I don't think
that many at once.
I'm not suggesting there should be a communal brush.
What are you saying then?
I'm just saying, like, bring your toothbrush along and wave it in the air.
I mean, you can fashion weapons out of those in prison.
Shanks,
so,
yeah.
How?
That's how you make shanks. I'm not telling people how to make shanks, but it involves burning the end of it, melting it, and then putting a razor blade in it, if you must know, Marcus. Yeah. Then you attack the Achilles heel, and they can't walk again. All
I'm not telling people how to make shanks, and then you went and did it.
Yeah. The only thing, just an addendum to that, you can also slit the throat.
Yeah.
Can you? That, yeah, if you want, yeah, yeah.
People do that. What giddy aren't.
That's how it goes, mate. It goes.
I think I've got the points, actually.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, okay, Luke's got the points.
Thank you very much.
Do we have any listeners from prison? Don't aim it in. Yeah, of course they will be.
Well, you plan on a little stint, are you?
Well, yeah. Make it easy for yourself.
King of prison!
Forming little alliances already?
Yeah.
Where's the next Ramble Live is in Wormwood Scrub.
Yeah, it'd be like Johnny Cash.
And we can only do it for an hour because that's all Pete gets for exercise time. Get it all ready. Seriously, he can't sound check. He ain't got time.
And then a drone takes me away. Yay.
Unprisonable.
And then you meet up with Morgan Freeman afterwards on the beach in Mexico.
That's the one.
Beautiful.
Let's move on to the Premier League. Now Luke's got the points. Arsenal got the points against Chelsea. Now Jimbo, come on. You've taken a bit of stick from me.
Oh, that was an enjoyable afternoon. I'm not even going to let you finish.
We didn't even let you do the pre-recorded response to an Arsenal win.
Cause I just couldn't envision it.
No.
I need to have a bit more faith.
I said that you should be happy with Arsenal nicking a last-minute lucky draw.
Yeah, but I didn't have to be. Because
how wrong I was.
Them,
you dicked them, didn't you?
Mm.
Feel good,
lovely little dink.
Conte was fuming.
He was,
absolutely.
I mean, he's always like that anyway, isn't he? But this is one of the things I said, like, on the show, like, largely in jest, but you never know what it's like with a new manager. Maybe that, you know, your guy will just will get the better of them, have something over them, and long may that continue.
Chelsea, I mean, we're not going to take anything away from Arsenal while you're on the show, Jim, because you're enjoying the win, and rightly so, but Chelsea have got problems.
But all of a sudden, because they were playing quite well games ago.
Pete's portent came true.
What?
He said, okay, it happens in threes.
Happens in threes.
Yeah, and he really did get his pants pulled down again, didn't he?
Yeah, but you said that the last time wasn't a pants pulling down.
So we got another one.
So you got another one on the horizon.
But Cahill's thinking, when's this all going to end?
Cahill.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved Ozil's goal because it was like, he'd rather give the ground an assist than actually score.
You knew it was Arsenal's day when that one went in. Because Ozil's got all the technique in the world and he was a joy to watch against Chelsea, but he massively scuffed that one and it's looped over the keeper. Yeah. Fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yeah. But did you just call Gary Cahill Gary Cahill?
No, just Cahill. What,
as he played like a Cahill.
I tried to just focus on shapes.
I'd love it if he came out at the weekend with just Cahill on the back of his shirt. Fantastic.
Gary's Cahill.
Oh,
there's something for the live show,
isn't it? In my experience, they only go on for about half an hour. He's just been going for 3 weeks in counting.
He keeps replenishing.
Yeah.
Gary Gale is not on Kermin. Let's just make that very clear.
Just a bit more, just take the edge off. No, Gary.
Gary, that's
the edge. That's what the edge is. Theo Walcott scored.
He did. That's like me scoring.
Sort of.
Like, to be fair, he's got his head down and he's been in good form of late, Theo Walcott. And that was a great move. It was probably the best move of the game, that. And it was great to see him in there to finish it off.
He was due
just
a
really
goal.
Slick.
He was due a goal in a big game.
Doesn't that always happen at the start of the season? Then he gets his new deal around Christmas, insists on playing up top.
And then for 3 months.
Yeah, then after 3 months, then he comes back terribly.
Right,
does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, make your mind up, Theo.
He's changed his mind.
Yeah, because he played up front. He's like, oh, this is really hard.
A woman's prerogative. He went on for about 3 years about how he wanted to play up the middle, didn't he? Don't like that anymore. Don't fancy that.
I prefer out the right.
Yeah, I want to play on the right now. But he got a goal. He got his goal.
He got a lovely goal. Although Didier Drogba was... It was a backhanded compliment. He tweeted Theo Walcott congratulating him on his goal, but also said in the tweet, "It is easy for the mouses to dance when the cats aren't there."
Is that backhanded? Is that even backhanded?
He's playing MLS. There are no cats. Yeah. Apart from him.
Yeah. Bradley Wright Phillips.
Yeah, true.
Have a bit of respect.
Well, both the Wright Phillips, I believe.
One is better than the other.
Is that what you say when you get excited? Bradley Wright Phillips.
Gordon Bennett.
My giddy aunt. Bradley Wright Phillips.
Bradley Wright Phillips, I've done it again.
We hear a lot about your giddy aunt, actually, don't we?
She's a wonderful woman. Yeah. Drogba was caught up in a bit of argy-bargy himself, though.
Saw it, enjoyed it.
Did you?
Enjoyed it very much.
He apologised quite soon after.
It was up there with the old, it wasn't quite as bombastic as a, it's an effing disgrace.
It's a disgrace.
But he was caught on camera, giving the old pointy finger to two Red Bull
mice.
New York fans. Yeah, to actual mice. Yeah. Don't forget, that Red Bull, if that game was at Red Bull New York, that was when I saw the legendary coach, yeah. Woo!
Yeah, that's
so
right.
If it was at that stadium, I can't remember if it was in Montreal or in New York. I think it might have been in New York.
I think it was in New York.
Maybe that's a stadium that's seen lots of fun things over the years.
We like fun things as well.
But he was I think he did apologise afterwards, but at the time he was fuming.
He was.
Absolutely. I don't know how he got into that part of the stadium.
What do you mean?
No, because I think what happened was he walked off down to go down the tunnel.
Right.
And then there's some stairs right next to the tunnel where these two fans were.
Yeah.
And so I think he just took an about turn, went up the stairs, and then the security guys had to step in and give it and stop him.
Popped on a high viz. Yeah. Locked up.
I
don't know how he got there because I forgot where it happened. I just assumed that he was at the side of the pitch. I thought, as a professional footballer.
Yeah. Well, he's playing for Montreal now, so I bet he wonders how he got there as well.
How'd I get here? Oh boy.
Yeah.
It's a good standard and leave it alone.
Yeah. I've got no problem with it. Don't mind it.
Yeah.
Don't mind it. Don't mind a bit of the MLS on a Sunday night.
You don't, do you? Chelsea, they haven't won in the league in their last three games.
They started so well.
They did. It's straight after that Swansea.
When Mourinho's United lost 3 in a week, people are going, is Mourinho finished? I've got those annoying PR emails into my box going, oh, Mourinho for the chop. And Conte's on the same thing.
No, yeah, the only, incredible. The only chop he's getting is a juicy one at Wings.
Yeah. Indeed. After that big win. Yeah.
but a bit more on Arsenal, Jim, because this is your time.
It was just.
I made the most of it because it won't be on next week.
Well, Hector Bellerin said after the game that it was brilliant for them to be able to sort of execute their game plan and sort of play with that fluidity and sort of feel in control. He in particular was brilliant. There was a point where he sort of dashed back for about a billion yards, I think it was roughly, to dispossess, I think, Eden Hazard. And so he had an outstanding game, but it's nice to hear the players talking with some confidence about their own game plan. And just because part of Arsenal's problem over the last couple of seasons really has been like
not being good enough.
Well, not being good enough, but also that they lack identity. We've said it on the show so many times, and that kind of like, you know, the intricate passing and all the stuff that they became associated with had sort of disappeared a bit. But in this game, that was absolutely back to its best. And if they can keep that form going, build up a bit of confidence, then great. Then
my highlight, I mean, I guess if I was trying to think of it from an Arsenal fan's point of view, is just that everyone stepped up. Look, Koscielny played well, Mustafi played well, Ozil played well, Sanchez played well, Bellerin was excellent, Walcott was decent. They really did sort of attack Chelsea and just not let them settle at all. And Chelsea don't have that swagger at the moment. And to be fair to Wenger, I think sometimes falls short and has been caught up a little bit and caught out a bit in more recent years. He clearly saw that. He knew that Chelsea weren't the most confident side. He knew they had weaknesses at right back with Ivanovic, and Cahill is struggling at the moment for form, possibly partly because of Ivanovic. And he knew that Matic isn't in any sort of form, for example. You know, so I think they deserve an immense amount of credit. They all stepped up and they all play well. And it's not very often, I don't want to have a dig at Arsenal on today of all those, but it's not very often that they all step up and perform, is it, at the same time?
Mm. They should be making the most of the nicer pitches in your August and Septembers, so they can play the pheasant game, can't they?
You say that, Pete, and they've got Burnley away at the weekend, haven't they? Ooh. Next one up, so could all come crashing down again.
It wasn't the only 3-0 that happened in the Premier League. Southampton 3-0 away to West Ham. 11
Another
goals.
Chapter in the story of the most successful stadium transition in history.
Yeah. 11 Not that famous term, the old stadium migration.
Oh, we're shooting for that award at the end of the season.
11 goals in 3 games is laughable, according to Mark Noble.
I saw a brilliant bit. I actually, to be fair to Noble, I don't really like, we've taken the mick out of Joe Hart for fronting up in quotes and being painfully honest. But Noble does care about West Ham, and he's really hurting about it. And it was good for him to show just how passionate he is for the club. And if I was a fan of West Ham, I'd have enjoyed that. But did you see West Ham Fan TV? There's a great clip of some guy. It was
they are taking the heat off us.
They
it's
are
brilliant.
Big time. But Jim, it was the most cockney thing I've ever seen. It was this guy was obviously being really annoyed and really cockney, and another West Ham fan walked up behind him, just tapped him on the shoulder, the presenter, said, "I don't know what you're talking to him for. He's making the club look like a laughing stock. He's a mug."
And then he hit him really hard on the chest. Jog on, mate, smack.
And then the ersatz sort of pundit was being interviewed in the first place, just went, "Yeah, stroll on, mate. Stroll on, Bilo, yeah? Stroll on, mate."
And then the presenter kind of just kind of shrunk a little bit. He's gone, I'm going to say what I want about a club.
It was in a way, it made it worse.
At least they're not...
I'm off to Stratford. Yeah. I'm off to the Westfield.
Yeah. At least they're not fighting with their fists.
No.
Week.
Well, we don't know that. We've never seen it.
Is that the plea on the loudspeaker? Look, because you have to wean people off on it.
You're going
to
fight. Do it with rhyming slang.
Do it with an open, open fist.
Yeah. They are in lots of trouble.
They're in huge amounts of trouble.
You know, with the sort of individuals they've got running the club, choose my words carefully there, they've given, I think it was Brady or one of them gave Bilic a vote of confidence today.
Mm. Oh.
And you know what that's like.
He certainly
His face, as it all sort of unravelled, he looked like a man just bereft of ideas of what to do next. He looks like...
Pundit joke, he, really. Yeah. He's a good pundit.
But he looked like he couldn't believe what his players were doing out there in front of him, because they were second to everything. They just looked sluggish and sort of, like, scared.
Playing a team of absolute little slugs as well. Can't believe it.
Only according to you. I mean, West, they're in real trouble. I mean, that's four on the bounce they've lost in the Premier League. And it's, you know...
It's their worst start for a very long time.
It's a shame because of the good work they did last season.
Yeah.
And that successful stadium migration.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But it was a shame because I think most neutrals thought, you know, they've got... Well, they had the chance of European football, obviously didn't take that. You know, new stadium, so much was said about the new stadium. You just think, right, finally, it's in. It's a bit like seeing Gareth Bale in a Real Madrid shirt. Finally, he's there. Well, let's see him do his stuff.
Well, especially when a lot of their better players, certainly last season, or overperformed. The players who would either come of age or come of quality and overperform, possibly. Mm. They stayed on, didn't they? Because they wanted to play in the new stadium, and that was a big deal for them.
Well, Piatt's one of them.
Piatt's a very good example, and he's not really set the Premier League on fire this season, has he?
Out of jail big time in the League Cup as well. They scored very late on. Piatt scored a free kick, didn't he, against Accrington Stanley. Mm. They don't look in good shape at all. It's difficult to put your finger on what exactly's gone wrong, because I think they had Winston Reid back for that game at the weekend.
But
as well.
He looked absolutely shell-shocked.
He did.
And, is it right back or left back? They have no body. it's one of the flanks anyway.
Cresswell's left back, of course, not right back. But yeah, it is a bit of a shame, as I said, for the neutral, or certainly a shame for West Ham fans, because they're in the new stadium and you thought, will they be challenging again for European football? Yeah. Because of the
we've
amount
had
of,
our answer.
We've had our answer very early on. Because of the amount of quality now at the top end of the league, with Conte coming in and Guardiola and Mourinho at Manchester United, Koeman doing some good stuff at Everton and all the rest of it, and Pochettino carrying his work with Spurs. Would West Ham also give those teams just something to think about when they play them? I'm not saying West Ham are going to start challenging for top four. I think that would be a little bit...
But that is their stated aim, though, isn't it? Karen Brady has said they want to win the Premier League. Like they want to use the stadium as something to build on. And obviously every club can be ambitious.
Pad.
And, you know, how realistic it is one thing. But, their stated aim is understandably high, so that is exactly what they're trying to do. And it, from a neutral point of view, it is disappointing, isn't it? Because they were great last season. It's great when you see a team sort of, you know, just play above themselves like that and announce themselves, and hopefully they will sort of arrest this slump.
Well, it's one or the other. One way you think, right, it's just into a new stadium, so it's a transitional season, just get used to it, stay in the Premier League. Or you can say, well, they want to build on what they did last season. Well, the reality is they're 10 points off fifth already. Mm. So it's unrealistic now, even though we're only at the end of September, for them to get anywhere near where they got last season, really, because it's hard to see them making that shortfall up. So
they need to migrate north, up the table.
Keep going.
They certainly do. We're going to talk more Premier League action after this.
Watch yourself, it's the Ramble Boys, chucking out the bants, making all the noise. Keep your peepers peeled and watch those grubby mitts, because they're coming for you and your big shop tips.
We're saying West Ham obviously have been a bit poor this season thus far. Leicester City have been the same.
It's almost that Leicester City aren't able to defend properly now because of those new rules.
Yeah.
Danny Simpson said something interesting in the press today. He said, oh, you know, it's been on our mind. We've been aware of the fact that that these new laws and referees are concentrating more on sort of robust, shall we say, defending in the penalty area, and it's affected us. And I think he was saying it in the context of conceding so many, a few soft set-piece goals against Manchester United. And it's a bit like... You should really better do it. And it's not a coincidence that Shawcross is having a bit of a bad time about it as well.
Robert Huth, a man for the new rules.
But that goal Rashford scored for United, they were completely asleep, Leicester. That's nothing to do with roughing up strikers. It's like getting within the same post.
And height as well. I mean, that was always kind of their strength of the back. Yeah. They could certainly do... They had some decent headers of the ball. Yeah. Like, look at Zlatan, just absolutely mashed everyone to bits.
Yeah. I'd love to see you up against Zlatan, though. You'd be ground into a fine powder by the
end. He'd be running between his legs, as would I.
There was a point where Danny Simpson and Wes Morgan ran into each other. And I don't feel that you can blame the rules on that.
That's not the hallmark of a title-winning side, is it?
We're allowed to roughhouse each other.
There was a little bit of chat beforehand about a previous feud between Ranieri and Mourinho. Mourinho once described Ranieri as a loser and slagged off his English.
A lot of people...
Try to get off his girlfriend.
Unfortunately,
take that point, Dexter.
Unfortunately, on social media, we do these little graphics of our logo and a little quote from one of us just to get people to listen to the show. We haven't heard it before.
Go on.
Unfortunately... Ramble editor and general all-round good egg Joel picked out a Spelsy quote.
Right.
And it was, I quite fancy Leicester to nick this one. Yeah. Private place at the top of the Facebook page as we're going into the game.
And he didn't put the rest of the quote, which I thought was incredibly unfair. I quite fancy Leicester to nick this particular competition in the best goal of the game.
No, really.
And Damari Gray got it.
I spent the whole Saturday afternoon firefighting for you, pal.
No thanks.
A bit of gratitude, please.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Gray nearly scored an identical goal a little later on, which is incredible.
Can I just say, when I say firefighting for Marcus in quotes, it involved commenting on that image, Spelsy, and then three laughing emojis.
hanging up to dry.
Deflecting, mate.
Damage limitation, yeah.
Acknowledge the mistake.
Ranieri, when asked about a previous feud with Mourinho, he said, I love red wine. If he offers, I will go and drink it with him. I'll bet he offered that day.
But Ranieri's record going into that game against Mourinho is actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But they were nowhere near the level they need to be at.
But Manchester United, as everybody knows, they needed and wanted a performance like that.
Absolutely. And it's no coincidence, and it's been done to death, so we'll just briefly touch on it, I'm sure. But Rooney being taken out that side, the tempo is so much better. Yeah. The players know their roles. They can move the ball quickly. It doesn't have to go through a guy who's, to be frank, best years are behind him and who is ponderous on the ball and occasionally takes too many touches and his first touch isn't that good. They can move the ball at such a tempo that it really does improve them.
It does, certainly.
It's nice to see Mata being given and taking his chance under Mourinho as well, isn't it? He's really, really shone at this start of the season.
He certainly has. And Benteke's shining for Palace.
He is.
Palace? 2-0 down, yet they won 3-2. Three league wins in a row for Palace. 9 goals in those 3 games, 10 points from 4. Pards for manager of the month.
There's your arrest.
But he probably will get manager of the month.
He should do.
Yeah. What about that marking for Benteke's winner, though? I mean, he's so frustrated.
But the game's Moise nearly up.
Moise on the touchline.
We've nearly got a point.
He probably won't score.
I've seen this happen before and they haven't scored.
If you look at the statistics, I mean, he's very, very unlucky. Oh, he has done.
His best years are behind him.
Wasn't Moise wearing some rather fetching grey tracky bottoms?
Was he?
I think he was, on the touchline,
Was it the old Gabor Kerais?
Maybe. It was certainly that hue, Pantone colour.
Why? Was he warming up?
I saw them, and the adjective I would use would not be fetching. It was a
wretching.
It's man off to the off-licence to buy a paper.
A half bottle of water.
to put round his bottle.
Same thing again, though, isn't it? As we were talking about on the last show, the Sunderland not picking up points in August and September. It's insane.
Add loads of months to that, Jim.
It's also
but it happens every year. It's like 3 or 4 years in a row.
Well, it is true, because Moyes is already talking like the club are on their way down.
But he has been since he got there. He genuinely has. It's like the size of the task in front of me is unbelievable.
Lay the foundation.
Did you say that in the interview?
I've got nothing to do. I'll come up there for 9 months.
Yeah, right, really cold. I'll wear me trackies.
Someone's got to do it. But it's one thing to let Christian Benteke to move to Crystal Palace for 30 million in a transfer window. It's a complete other thing entirely to not then mark him at set pieces.
Yeah, after they've equalised to make it 2-2. And it's one of those ones where the tide of the game turns and everybody knows what's going to happen and, of course, there's a chance.
Can you imagine Moyes after the game going, he cost £30 million.
Yeah.
£30 million he was.
Yeah.
Why are you not marking him? Another team has decided they want to pay £30 million for him.
But the Sunderland players could have turned around like we did and say, but some of these players that are going for big money, we've never even heard of them.
and rightly so.
You have heard of them because his name's written on that chalkboard, circled, starred.
And now on the score sheet.
Yeah. And now there's 30 seconds left.
Moyes did say on the radio, I think it was an interview on 5 Live after the game, he said that, well, you've got to look at the players. I mean, they've had every different type of manager here, and it's obviously not the manager's fault.
He was saying
stuff like, it's not the manager's responsibility. It's got to be the players, because it's happening too often.
Look, the players have got their part to play, but so does the manager.
I think nobody's disagreeing with that, but you don't need to hear it from the manager whose job it is to, you know, sort it out.
I love it. It's a particular interest of mine when managers obviously have this carefully sculpted plan of how they're going to do things. Mm. And they will say, right, we're going to talk about this in the dressing room, and this is what I'm going to get into the press. And like 3 weeks into the season, I'm fuming. I am fuming with you lot. Right, you won't hear what I'm going to say now. Right, the players are fucking shit. He completely goes out the window.
He does. No such nonsense on the South Coast with Bournemouth.
Portsmouth, William 5-1.
Yeah, well,
come on.
I knew you'd get that in there somehow. I did. I always look out for Portsmouth's result for you, Luke.
5-1 it was.
It was.
For the avoidance of any sort of doubt, yeah. They won 5-1.
Even Heskey scored. Bournemouth.
It was their own personal tribute to that night in Germany. Mm.
Is your farm guy? Like, surely your farm guy is like, wah!
No, we've.
I thought you'd lost a few games on the bounce.
No, we had four in a row.
Then
we
lost, that's right, yes.
Then we lost to Accrington and now we've beaten Barnet. We're second in the league. Nosebleeds all over the South Coast.
It's as I say, back to Bournemouth. They beat Everton 1-0.
They got a win as well.
Yeah.
A Toon Solent derby next season. Luke, you
Bournemouth
fancy
have
it?
Won. Southampton have won. Portsmouth have won.
Yeah. They're all winning. How's lads
what a hotbed.
They beat Everton, and Everton have started the season very well. This throws weight behind Pete's ridiculing of anyone who said Everton could be title contenders.
Yeah, I love this highlight of the week from Jamie Landy. He says, my highlight of the week is Harry Arter, who cost £4,000 from Woking, single-handedly bossing a midfield of Idrissa Gueye, Gareth Barry and Ross Barkley.
Mm.
Got to be happy with that.
He's got to be very happy, and the goal was a beauty.
It was.
Stanislas, I think it was.
Very nice.
Eddie Howe's loving having Jack Wilshere there, isn't he? He said it's well done, it'd be very brave of him to take a step back in time.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously the facilities aren't quite obviously Arsenal's and so on and so forth. So, yeah.
Self-deprecating as well.
Well, yeah, but
the man's got a bright future. Eddie Howe, not Joe Wilshere.
Yeah, okay. speaking of bright futures, let's go down to the Championship. Aston Villa won, Newcastle won. Premier League scenes in the Championship. Peter,
stinking.
You were there.
Said a lot about my psychology that I watched this game because I knew Pete was there.
What, you were watching the crowd?
Didn't see him in
Pete
the crowd.
Pete Cam.
What end were you in, Donny?
I was in the closest I could have been next to the Newcastle fans without actually being with the Newcastle fans. And it was, pound for pound, the worst football-relating experience I've ever had. In my many years.
You got a point?
No, it wasn't what was up around the field. It was the fact I was constantly worried about getting beaten up. I was in what can only be described
sort of, you know, everyday life.
That's everyday life.
Was it because of what you were doing or people recognised you?
So we buy our tickets late, and we buy them from like a ticket exchanging website. And it was a block of four. Yeah. So me and three lads.
How much did it cost you?
£35 a piece. No, actually, it might have been £25, actually, thinking about it, but still very expensive for what happened.
I'll never have live,
and, we got to pay for ours.
It's unbelievable.
And so we get stuck into this area that's... every person in...
You want to explain to Marcus that a lot of actual fans, they actually sit in the actual stand?
Yeah. Not, we don't have dinner. We had to buy a hot dog at the half-time.
I'm amazed you ventured out of central London and Soho. Eh?
Yeah.
Was it just it was not a members bar, was it,
no,
Peter?
No.
Marcus, they bought a ticket, it didn't get any food with it. Believe it.
Didn't Leeds do that though? Yeah. Get vouchers or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm in there and I'm surrounded by like Stone Island crew. They are all wearing, they're all in like firms effectively, and all they're doing, not watching the football, they're shouting effing and blinded at the Geordies and filming which ones they want to fight.
Yeah. Wow.
So they're sort of like, so they're zooming in and sort of going,
using,
and then
harnessing new technology. Yeah.
It's nice. Like, but what I like about the younger hooligan is they never need to back up their hubris, let's say, with any action because it's so well policed. They can just spend the whole match whinging and shouting and swearing. I'm gonna F you up. I'm gonna smack you up and stuff.
Like Liberal Democrats.
Yeah.
They're gonna get in. And then obviously backfires.
But about halfway through the first half, I wasn't cheering for either side because I thought I was going to get filled in. Mm. But this fucking ginger beluga of a twat next to me, he's like, he just
not
turns
me,
to me and
Marcus,
he goes,
I wasn't there.
He just turns to me. Ginger. He just turns to me and goes, as loud as he could, he went, Ian, mate, are you a Geordie? And so everybody starts fucking bristling, and I'm like, oh, for fuck. And I'm like, technically, I'm not a Geordie. No, mate, I'm not a Geordie.
Did you do your Cockney accent?
Is it Michael Caine?
Did
you do your Michael Caine?
I smoothed off some of the longer vowels in my
you can imagine
words.
Him thinking, right, I can do Michael Caine, but can I say one sentence? How can I weave this into the answer? There's nothing wrong with that.
So, yeah, but then he's like, all right, mate, and I went, What the fuck is... I think that says, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because he wasn't watching the match all over through. And him and his meds. Him and his ruffian meds. Oh. Anyway, and then
you're missing the ticky-tacker.
What gets me is... And then he actually moved away from me. Like, he didn't want to be associated. So the rest of the... so the rest of the stand were just watching what I was doing.
Hang on. He didn't
moved
want to be...
Away. He moved away from me.
He didn't want to be associated.
Yeah, with Jody.
With you.
I was like... Oh. But I'm technically not, so I can happily just say no.
What accent is that you just did?
Who's good Birmingham?
Good Birmingham.
Yeah. You do a good Birmingham.
All right.
All right,
mate.
All right, you can't start... Right, don't start with all right.
Okay. Hello. Are you a Jordan, mate? It's better than yours.
It was bloody dreadful.
We're not playing Birmingham the last show.
I was walking past Craven Cottage the other day.
He never goes in now, does he?
No. and I saw a sticker on a street sign that said... football, fashion and fighting.
Yeah.
And I thought, is that what it is now? Is that what hooligans
the
these days?
The three F's. Things.
Yeah, but at Fulham, they don't have... The firms are law firms.
Yeah.
We'll smash your heads in court.
Yeah. No fee. Anyway, Pete, how was the game?
It was
Elfie
no fun.
Scored goal
well, it was
no.
Well, it was no fun, but it started quite brightly for Newcastle, didn't it? But they just didn't take the chances, and then all the Newcastle fans blamed Matt Sells, the goalkeeper, and abused him on Twitter, so he went off Twitter.
Oh, dear.
That's how to solve a problem, isn't it?
A terrible day's work.
Abuse.
Oh, they were horrible, Luke. I did not enjoy that match. Oh, it was horrible.
On to the main event. Did you hit the tiles afterwards, Dan?
Did hit the tiles, yeah.
Hit
the heads off the tiles. Did you?
What time did you roll in?
Both nights, half two.
Okay, so that's an improvement.
What do you mean improvement?
Well done.
Outrageous.
Yeah. Both nights.
Both nights. Well, I went out on the Friday. I went to a video game expo on Friday.
That's when they recognised you from.
Yeah. Bearing in mind earlier on, he was talking about how that when he goes to stay with his parents, he doesn't get in until 4 a.m. and his dad wakes him up at 6 so he wants to use the computer in the spare room.
Yeah, there's no reason for him to be using the computer in the spare room.
Well, that's what you think.
He's got a time. Yeah, you shouldn't be doing that while I'm asleep. That particular act.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, just log in on. Oh, you've already got it ready for me, son.
Father Leonidas.
We are going to go abroad and do some emailing after... Not emailing, we're going to read some emails after this. So good. Very good. Very good. So good.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the preview show is out this Friday morning, sponsored by Bet365. Oh, it's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, we let ourselves down by harassing and haranguing Jim last week, and then Arsenal come out and hit us one right in the eye, didn't they?
Yeah, well, we said both sides to score. Chelsea have let us down.
They have, but I mean, we got Jim to pre-record a load of reactions to when Arsenal are never to be lost.
And we didn't get to use them.
So, yeah, he's very happy.
Use them next week.
Yeah.
we've got an email.
Oh, yes.
Do we?
Yes. Very special email.
Okay.
From Mr. Kevin Carruthers.
And Kevin Carruthers update, as asked
for. Oh, was I supposed to read that out?
You do emails, mate. It's the only responsibility you've got on this show.
Don't do them on a Monday, usually. We do them on a Thursday.
We do, but we did.
Because we need to flesh them out.
Yeah. This is the kind of time where Pete goes, I'm here.
Marcus, do you want to put this up?
Yeah.
You know the email that Marcus sends around with the title running order?
Right.
Is
it in the running order?
I will admit that we do occasionally waver from it.
Right.
But that's... Treat that as a wireframe.
Is it in the running? Is the email in the running order?
Yes.
No, it isn't.
Ad break.
No, it isn't.
I'm reading it verbatim. Ad break. Football Ramble Preview Show sponsored by Bet365 on Friday morning. Email. Kevin Carruthers.
Right. Yeah, but that's why don't you put the email in the body of the running order? Then I've got it, haven't I?
Oh, why don't we do everything for you? Yeah.
I never get down that far.
Yeah, I can see why those Jordan. I can see why those Brummies thought you were an absolute dick.
Oh, right.
You found it? Do you want me to fill in some?
I found it. Do you want to get your dad fat mouth?
Should we get your dad to log in for you?
Yeah.
Right.
It's supposed to be an absolute techno gimp as well. Even
this is from Kevin Carruthers.
Yeah.
Hi, chaps.
Do you want to give a bit of background for people?
You give the background, I'll read the fucking email, because that's my job, apparently.
Right. A lot of sweary words this week. Come on.
Kevin Carruthers is a man.
Good, I could have done that, mate.
Yeah, who once started a job at a new law firm. He's a lawyer, I believe.
Is his firm.
And it got mixed up, and he's actually a Leeds United fan, but along the way, his boss thought he was a Spurs fan. Mm. And it was one of those things where it went too far, and he couldn't change it. He couldn't tell him any different. Mm. So he had to pretend to be a Spurs fan over and over again.
Yep.
But to the point where he had to go to games, go to the executive box at White Hart Lane.
No, he went to away games and stayed the night.
Yeah, cheer results and everything. And so he said, I wonder what's happened to him. So we asked him for an email, and he's emailed in, and take it away, Pete.
There we go. Hi, chaps. After the call to arms a few weeks back, I thought I'd drop you a line about my plight as a Spurs fan. Many will be pleased to know that I have now left the employment of said boss, who mistakenly thought of me as a Spurs fan. Surely I'm now free to scream my support for Leeds United from the rooftops. Well, you'd be wrong, Willis. The industry I work in is fairly niche, and we often move in the same circles. Therefore, with the fear of being found out down the line, I had the choice to make on day one at my new place. Do I say I support Leeds,
or
does
like
the
that.
Saga continue, and I say Spurs? I went with the latter.
Oh my god, he actually, it's getting to the
unbelievable.
You know in the film ID where he has to go undercover as a football hooligan and by the end he actually becomes a football hooligan?
Yeah.
2 years' time, we're going to get another email from Carruthers and he's going to be
more like District 9.
But I should be more the talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah.
Or a lot less sinister.
Yeah.
Although I'm no longer travelling to United Spurs fixtures regularly, I am still maintaining my status. I often get asked who we are playing at the weekend, and being a Leeds fan, my mind screams, Rotherham away! But I often find myself looking blank and using the Sky Sports app to look it up. The main problem I have at work these days is that the office clown is a Bantasaurus Arsenal fan TV type gooner. He often gives me some bants about our rivalry, which I laugh off. The politically colorectal term.
Which one are you trying to say?
Well, he's written colorectal or colorectal.
Yeah.
Which isn't, surely? Correct?
Colorectal. I don't know.
Has he used that word before and he's tried to write correct and that's what's come in?
He's a lawyer. You've got like 2 A levels. I mean, just give him the benefit of the doubt.
Carruthers makes a lot of things up.
Yeah. By the way, I gotta trust this man.
He's an unreliable narrator.
He's a multi-myth character, isn't he?
By the way, that name's not real.
No, it's not.
We gave him that name. Yeah.
The politically correct term for this boy is a massive prick, but he is technically my underling, assistant to the regional manager, so I'm hatching plans to get him fired. Anyway,
that's nice.
Anyway, the mask hasn't slipped. Come on, you Spurs.
Oh,
thank
my
you
goodness.
Very much, Kev.
He is in deep.
That's fantastic.
Kevin, you are in what a deep throat.
You are in colorectal, mate.
Yeah. Good old Kev. Nice to hear from him.
It's lovely to hear.
If you're
going to
do a top three all-time emails, you've got to be him and Testicle Matt. Have got to be in there.
They've
I can't think
there.
Of a third one. I don't know why I said three.
We've had so many.
Yeah,
we've had so many from you, the good listeners, and please. Don't let that stream dry up.
We can't do too many emails because the standard is generally so good that we don't want to shut ourselves off.
It's usually how it works, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's true. Let's go to La Liga. Valencia sacked their manager last week, Paco Ayestarán, less than 6 months into his time.
He's continuing Gary Neville's fine work.
He is.
Well, he's improved upon it.
Well, yeah, he's got a better or worse
Record?
Record. Because Neville had the worst record of any coach in Valencia's history, which is wonderful. But Estoril has bettered that, if you know what I mean, or worsened that. I don't know what would be the word. Taking 10 points in 12 games, whereas Gary picked up 14 points.
It's funny with Neville, because when you put him on the touchdown at Old Trafford before a game, he knows everything, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, careful, oh, yeah. Mate.
Come on.
People can easily call us out here.
I wouldn't be stupid enough to take a professional management job.
You would.
Oh, yes, you would. You'd fancy yourself to, you know, sort Valencia
but
out.
The thing is, by my reckoning with Gary Neville, we got 10 points in 12 games, right?
No, so, Neville, I think, got 14 points in 16.
Oh, sorry, 14 points. That's no better than chance. Surely, that's not...
I sort of agree with that, actually.
You could have no manager at all, and you think the record would be
I reckon, if you turned up and you just put 4-4-2 on the chalkboard, and went, get out there!
Yeah.
You'd have a chance of getting 14 points.
I think you're right.
In the Liga, there's some dead rubbers
in there. The real victim of all this is Voro, the lesser-mentioned Voro, who's now in his fourth stint as caretaker manager at Valencia. He is the Valencia's David Pleat.
I mean, he's like a sort of supply teacher.
Yeah,
just keep around.
What's his name?
Voro, V-O-R-O.
Well, he covers up a lot of problems. It's the mask of Voro.
Yeah, I like the way you checked his name first.
Yeah.
I don't want to look stupid doing this, so I'm just going to double check.
Didn't have a confidence.
Yeah. I thought, was his
what
name
What would you
Voro?
Have said otherwise?
Sorry, yeah. What's his name? How'd you spell that?
Hey, come on. Better it or worser it, like Gary.
If he'd have said another name, you wouldn't have been able to use it. So I just want to know what would have happened. I want to know who's through the other logic get.
Is Paco Ayestarán, the guy who was the assistant manager to Benitez at Liverpool for a while, and he was a really must-hire coach on Championship Manager one year?
I think he is, yeah.
Oh,
well, he was Neville's assistant for a bit, or he was certainly in the background.
Was he? Okay. Mm. He's obviously a highly respected coach, one of those guys who's
came to the foreground. Elsewhere in La Liga, Real Madrid drew 2-2 with Las Palmas, but the big news was that Cristiano Ronaldo was subbed off with 18 minutes to go.
What?
Now, obviously, he hardly ever gets subbed, and you think, well, yeah. But it was the first time he was tactically substituted in 7 years. Wow. Obviously, not injury, because he came off in the European Championship final for Portugal and blah, 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 blah. But yeah, that is quite incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was he fuming? I didn't see it. Was he fuming?
Well, he wasn't best pleased.
No.
I think Real Madrid, they were leading when he came off, and then they conceded an equaliser with 6 minutes to go. His mum tweeted a picture of him sitting on the bench looking a little bit ticked off, saying, "Never lower your head."
Last thing you need, isn't it? Your mum on Twitter sort of digging at you.
I don't think she's digging at him.
Well, yeah, she's trying to encourage him.
Yeah. Look at you in the subs bench, you mug.
Bit annoying, though, isn't it?
Daft little son.
Yeah, don't quit anytime soon because I want another extension.
Pete, is your dad on Twitter? That's why he's on the computer all the time.
No.
He's not on Twitter?
Yeah, he's not on that.
My dad's on Twitter.
He's on Facebook as a nom de plume.
Let's not.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Very interesting.
He's out there. He's out there, guys.
He's a dab hand of a Photoshop, isn't he, as well, your dad?
He's got massively into Photoshop. He's great at masking. He's got better and better every year,
You do send us a few bits of his handiwork on the old WhatsApp sometimes.
Whenever, like, there's a live show and there's a picture of me that gets tweeted by the Ramble account, he will stick... He'll stick either my head on someone, think something else, or stick someone else's head on my body.
So he must be on Twitter then.
Enjoyable.
No, he just emails it to me and goes, "Look at this. All that work for just me."
Yeah, but you spread the wealth. Don't
no, but
you?
How did you find the pictures to Photoshop in the first place?
Well, you can go on Twitter without holding an account, can't you?
I just think he's probably got one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he probably has as well. Yeah.
Well, I tweet like really right wing scary stuff. 9/11 never happened. All that stuff.
The only evidence I've got to work on is his son.
let's go to Serie A, and there was some news outlets are now calling them Joe Hart's Torino. Mm. Beat Roma 3-1. Hart managed to keep out his former teammate Edin Dzeko, but he couldn't stop a nearly 40-year-old Francesco Totti, who scored 2 days short of his 40th, which takes him to 250 Serie A goals.
James Horncastle tweeted, 6 goals and 5 assists in Totti's last 13 league games, and he's 40 on Tuesday.
That's great.
he's like an actual centurion.
I mean, there's a few that were penalties and whatnot, but they've still got to be stuck away. But he's playing in his 25th Serie A season.
Yeah, I saw a picture of him. I think he made his... I know this will be right, but I think he made his debut in 1993, and someone tweeted a picture of him in 1993. He looks almost exactly the same.
That is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's 10 goals a season average.
Yeah.
Well, which is amazing over 25 years, isn't it?
Well played, yeah. Well, he's 24 goals short of Silvio Piola's record of 274 Serie A.
Is he going to get it?
Ooh. Well,
another couple of seasons and he might, but...
Oh, I don't know. 24 goals.
He signed like an 8-year contract about 2 years ago, didn't he? With the understanding that he would move into being a coach or a director for whatever he wants to do, basically.
Yeah.
So he's under contract there for a good while.
Mm. But from one end of the footballing age spectrum to the other, Giovanni Simeone... Diego's son scored on his first Serie A start for Genoa in a 1-1 draw with Pescara. His team finished the match with 9 men. So if he's anything like his father, he's in the right team.
Yeah. Yeah. A nice finish as well.
He probably was perfectly normal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Nine's brilliant.
You don't want to end the game of all your players.
Perish the thought.
Yeah.
Just quickly to the Netherlands, what about this? Willem Twijs midfielder Anouar Kali became the first player in the Netherlands to be sent off by the video assistant referee after a yellow card. It was a cup tie last week, this was actually.
I don't like this.
Yeah, I know you don't, which is why
Tupac's hologram.
Inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is inevitable, Jimmy. You're right.
And accept it.
But for me, it feels like the end of. It feels like almost the start of the end of football as you know it, do you know what I mean?
Robot refs and that will be next.
Yeah, quite. I mean, I can remember when we used to talk about it when we were kids a little bit, about could we be professional footballers when we're older? Obviously, the answer is no, because we've got no talent. But generally speaking, will they all be Android players? You didn't know. Mm. And this, to me, feels a bit like a move away from football as we know it. And, of course, you're right, Jim, it probably is inevitable. And
Are you comparing this to robot footballers? Yeah.
Have you seen the film Terminator 2? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, the International Football Association Board, which oversees the rules of the game, will decide in 2018 whether to bring in video technology and include it in the laws. It was used when France beat Italy in the World Cup final. Arguably. Yeah. But when they beat Italy... when they beat Italy in a friendly international in Bali last month. Although, I don't think it wasn't actioned.
No.
Like it was but in this Dutch game.
The debate, presumably, is around stopping the play. Mm-hmm. For this to happen, so if you are stopping the play, I mean, to me, it's gonna be a bit of a shame. Mm. To put it mildly, it's gonna be a shame.
Wasn't it the case that it actually didn't though?
No, I don't think it did. No, instance. But I'm just saying, if they were to go down this route, which it looks like they are, for me, I would very much not like not to stop the play to do it. Because if you look at what we've got with the goal line technology at the moment, it doesn't seem to impinge on the game very much.
Can you not do like a Hawkeye thing? You get, you know, two a half or something? Two challenge your half?
I don't like that. It's not tennis, Donaldson.
It's not tennis, Donaldson.
No.
Who's this tennis,
your
Donaldson?
Your alter ego. Your disco dancing alter ego.
On the tennis ramble.
Oh. Coming down to the dance floor. Tennis Donaldson.
Making his usual racket. Yeah, go on then.
Good God.
Stop stringing this along.
The decision was changing a yellow card into a red card.
Yeah.
Upping it.
Yeah, that's right.
So obviously, sorry, yeah,
I understand.
Perhaps you already.
Yeah.
Upgrading it.
Upgrade, yeah. That's the one.
Or if you're the player, downgrading it.
Yeah. It evolved into a red card, Your Honour. I think it was an assistant referee doing the video. Mm. The problem with football is, unlike, say, cricket or rugby, did the ball cross the line or did the ball come off the batsman's leg or all these kind of decisions, there is a definite yes or no. Whereas football, obviously, that's the thing, isn't it? It's open to interpretation.
Well, but the example I give, and I talk a bit about this in the book that we've got coming out, because I talk a little bit about refereeing and how hard their job has become. And for me, the problem is it comes down to an interpretation. So a lot of time in key decisions, more often than not with referees, the controversy and the issue comes down to their interpretation. Mm. If you've got a player running 100 mile an hour into the 18-yard box with the defender tracking him, there's a tangle of legs and he falls over right on the edge, you get four referees, they'll give four different decisions. Free kick outside the box, penalty, dive. You know, there's lots of things you can do, and I don't see how video efficiency is going to help.
Aren't the rules a little bit clearer on stuff like that, though? Like, for that very reason? You know, every single season we get new guidelines about referees and stuff like that, and surely there must be hard and fast rules for every situation, surely.
Well, there's not really. I mean, there's not hard and fast laws, no. There are a load of... The IFAB and FIFA, of course, do that every year, and they update them and change them around. But a lot of it is down to the referee to make the right call. Mm. And I talked a bit about the Super Bowl in the NFL last season. There was a big call in that game, and they stopped it for ages and played it from loads of different angles. And a lot of people still think they got the wrong decision. Mm. They still think it now.
That might be the case, though, at the same time. Like, surely just having an extra look at something is only going to make you get that decision right compared to just
more
seeing
times,
it once and then...
But then the problem is...
It's there to help, isn't it? It's not there to be an overarching authority,
The problem is that if a referee doesn't see it, you can let him off. You can moan about the referee and you think, but it's tough to referee, blah, blah, blah. If somebody with a video replay sees it from all different angles and then gives the wrong decision or gives a decision people are unhappy about, people think this is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
makes me think.
That's my point.
We need rules?
Do what you want. You get the ball in the back of the net as many times as you can. If you do that, you win.
We don't need any rules for this section. It's Highlights of the Week with Luke Moore.
It is Highlights of the Week, but before I go over there, I'm going to do a little stop-off. If you don't mind, at the service station of thefootballramble.com, where Kelly, the always excellent Kelly Wells, has reviewed Joey Barton's book, and it's an excellent book review. She hasn't asked me to say that. I genuinely mean it. You should read it on thefootballramble.com. And if you check back as well, we're going to have an exclusive interview with Joey Barton on the website too, so that's worth checking out. But thefootballramble.com. Highlights of the week. Joseph Bramley's got in touch with a running theme we've had about players who've played the most amount of games without scoring goals. He said he'd like to throw Eric Abidal into the mix. 328 league games, 67 caps for France, has never scored.
That's blimey, that's incredible. I didn't know that.
Seven league titles, eight domestic cups, good two Lord. Champions League wins, no goals. Is his career a failure?
That's the whole point of football, isn't it? And if he's a footballer, he's failed in many ways.
If we learnt nothing of 10 years or more of doing this show, it's the game is about personal glory and he should be ashamed of it.
We've all scored as many goals as he did.
In the age of short, sharp, shareable clips and gifts and all the rest of it, he's nowhere.
He's got nothing. That's why people have forgotten about him.
Not like he wasn't playing in an attacking side.
You think he would have popped up?
Yeah.
Anyway, by the way, I will be totally honest here with Joseph. I've taken his word for it. I've not checked. So, I mean, if he's got a couple in the bag, then I apologise to you, Eric. Cristiano Shuttleworth. That's a great name. It can't be real. He says, my highlight of the week was Stuart Pearce criticising Chelsea's attacking substitutions. This is a man who put David James up front when needing a goal.
Yeah.
Hashtag never forget.
Well, it's an anniversary.
James Quinn follows up on what we were saying earlier about FIFA disbanding its anti-racism task force, saying it completely fulfilled its mission. Glad that's all sorted, lads. What a relief. Gabe Bump says, Nostra Donaldson haunting Gary Cahill. Nice to see. Paul Butterfield, this is a nice one. Hello to you, Paul. He says, I've recently moved to New York for uni, and my classmates all joined me to watch my team, Celtic, get battered 7-0 by Barcelona 2 weeks ago. When we beat Kilmarnock 6-1 this week, they were nowhere to be found. Hashtag fair weather friends. What else have we got here? Oh, yeah, one more thing. This is quite funny. Craig Lee. Two local under-8 teams having their dreams crushed at the half-time exhibition match at the Stadium of Light because it was abandoned due to the staff not being able to construct a temporary goal properly.
Aww.
The club is not only fucked at the top, but also at the very bottom.
Oh, dear.
Oh, and also, I've got one more for you, Pete. James Stern emailed. Right. You wouldn't have read it because you haven't read the emails. We ran that earlier. He listen to this. This is a great email.
Right.
He says, he took a picture of your tattoo on the tube the other day because he's a big Monkey Island fan. He didn't know it was you. He just liked the tattoo. And when he heard it on the show, he then got in touch and said, I've got a photo of his tattoo.
Isn't that weird? Is it actually my leg, though?
I checked it. It is you. It's 100% you.
How do you know?
I checked it against my files. It's definitely you. From all angles.
Yeah. You've got all the pictures. Just in case I'm found in a ditch somewhere.
Exactly.
Have you got records of my teeth?
That's inevitability.
Speaking of crazy words.
Inevitability sounds quite sinister.
I want to apologise to... let's bleep that. Kev Carruthers. Colorectal is indeed a word.
So that's what you've been doing the last 10 minutes, is it? People will be thinking, is he still on this show?
Researching the emails he doesn't read.
Dictionary.com. Dictionary.com's Pete Donaldson.
Excellent. Any more? We're playing Winchester this Friday.
We're off to Winchester on Friday. Still a few tickets left. Uh-huh. It should be a great, fun live show. So come, Theatre Royal.
Yeah, if Pete's Worcester show finishes early, he may be there as well.
I'll get in the chopper.
You're doing that one-man thing in Worcester. have you got anything written?
No, it's a freewheeler.
Get your green CGI suit.
Give the secrets of the show away.
It'll be in Worcester. Someone's got to fill the gap.
That's very true. There we are. Remember to go to thefootballramble.com. As Luke said earlier, there's some good things there. The Joey Barton book review. And all sorts of things that it'll blow your minds.
Yes.
And come and see us in Winchester on Friday. There are a few tickets left. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Are you a Jody?
And it is goodbye from me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.